Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one rated TMS podcast. I'm just kidding. Nicole's on hiatus right now, so I will I'll call mine that. It's Thursday, October the 21st, and once again, a day late and a dollar short, but I'm coaching kids soccer. Like I said, the season ends in a few weeks, and so we should be back to the normal Wednesday schedule. But before I get started, I want to make sure that I give a shout out to the patrons of the podcast for hanging with me for all this time. So let me give a quick shout out to Victoria, Tony, Sylvie, Ross, Mindy, Michael, Kelly, Julie, John, Jen, and Nate, Jason, James, Irina, Francisco, Colette, Christina, Brian, Brooke, Barb, Arnie, and Anthony. Thank you all so much from the bottom of my heart for continuing to be supporters of the podcast. If you're interested in making a contribution to the show, go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast. Here we are in the crux, the very end, or coming up on the end here of October. I've had a couple of interviews, and this is episode, gosh, is it 197? I think it's 197. It might even be 198. Hold on, let me just double check. Damn, episode 197. That is a long time. And actually, the anniversary just flew by a couple weeks ago. So October 4th, 2017 was actually the first episode of this podcast. So and mostly uninterrupted once we got past about episode 14 or so. God, it's been crazy. There's been so many interviews on here, and I'm finding it harder and harder that when somebody comes to me and they say, hey, I have such and such issue going on. Can you tell me an episode where you talked about this? Maybe I should have been better about tagging topics and different things that were discussed all through the past 4 years, but nevertheless, I had not, and so I will do the best that I can in helping people when they come to me with those. This week's episode is going to just hover around. So I posted on the Mind and Fitness Podcast, the Leaders of Pain group, a little bit earlier today. Give me a podcast topic or two that you'd like to hear more about. And actually, there are quite a few people that responded with the same thing, and that was the concept of setbacks. So Scotty kicked it off with setbacks. Ray chimed in with how to believe. Keith said, resuming physical activity. I've started back slowly, but would like your take on different methods, like grading exposure. Christina asked about something called brain spotting, and I'll Google that here live on the show. Natasha asked about pelvic floor dysfunction and how it's related to TMS. Adam talked about setbacks as well. Anne wants to know about autoimmune disease. And then Tara asked about 8D music. I'm not sure what that is, but let's start from the top. So setbacks from Scotty. So my assumption here is like you went through a long period of time, probably with pain or symptoms or something going on, anxiety or whatever the case is. You found the TMS work. Things are going great. You are either pain-free or very close to being pain-free. It's not bothering your daily life anymore, basically. You're off doing your own thing and all that kind of stuff. And then suddenly you get a symptom or you start getting issues again. It could be in the same spot, could be in different places. And how do you really deal with that? This is something that's happened a lot with me over the last 4 and change years where I've had some kind of an issue. I talked about one about a year ago, if you remember, on this podcast where I had I was doing snatch pulls, and then I just felt something, just felt like I got stabbed in the lower back with a hot bat or hot knife, I should say, and just hit the ground, and I couldn't move my legs. It hurt way too bad to even make an attempt on it. So that was a setback that I had. And it's interesting because when I discovered all this Sarno stuff, I was pretty well bought in very quickly. I didn't really have a moment where I felt like this wasn't it and that I was really like set back, if you will. But one thing that I did have as time went on is like if a symptom felt like it was very stubborn in those first few months, I did go and see a chiropractor. I did go and see a physical therapist. And inevitably, what would always happen is I would leave just like before. I would leave feeling a little better, but then hours later, I would feel tremendously worse. And it felt like everything was tighter and everything hurt more and all that stuff, which just doesn't really make any sort of physiological sense. I had heard quite a few practitioners tell me over the years, things are going to get worse before they get better. And I think that really they were just sort of seeking an excuse to use, right? If you don't have if you're not getting better immediately. And there were so many times when I go and see somebody and I would see them for, you know, initially they would tell me in the beginning, you come and see me 2 or 3 times a week for the next 6 weeks and you'll be better by the end. And then 6 weeks would come and I would say, I don't feel any better. In fact, I feel worse. And the accusation would be that I wasn't doing the exercises that they prescribed, right? So those were some setbacks that happened early. And I didn't have the confidence at the time to just let it be. Fast forward a little bit, and I had I've had three of them in the last 3 years, actually, one in 2019, one in 2020, and then one in 2021, where I had the lower back was never something that I had an issue with. And all three times it's been in the exact same spot where I've had this just debilitating amount of pain where I can't do anything in that moment. And I'm the first couple times I was able to limp away, didn't go and see anybody. I just let it be and treated it just like an injury that will heal. But the most recent time, I didn't do so much of that. I had the confidence just to know that this is BS and this is going to go away. And I was bench pressing. I took my normal rest day the next day because I always take them on Thursdays. So I took a rest day and then I was back to bench pressing the next day and then just continued going on with my activity. So really like nothing had happened. And by far that third one was that was symptomatically speaking, that was the most painful by far. Of any of the three. And there haven't been any issues ever since that at all. And I'm training 5 days a week and I hadn't trained 5 days a week for probably since 2015 or 2014, hadn't trained 5 days in a week. And I've been on this program now for 2 or 3 months and just haven't had any issues anywhere. Regular workout soreness and that's it. So Scotty, I would say that the main thing needs to be confidence. And so if you have setbacks, and you're finding yourself sort of dipping back into not, you know, kind of falling into your old ways, not feeling like you're ever going to get over this or really being down in the dumps about it. I think it's one of those things where sort of brushing yourself off and just doing whatever it is that you need to do, whether it's journal or somatic tracking or whatever the case needs to be. But I think overall, the best thing that you can do for yourself is the confidence just to know that it will go away, and it won't be back. And, so a guy that I love, he was a bodybuilder from Long Beach, California, CT Fletcher, if you've never heard of him. But he had this documentary that came out a couple of years ago, and documentary wasn't great, to be honest. I think he's awesome, but the trailer for it, I'm a sucker for trailers. The trailer for it was fantastic. So I just want to play the very end of the trailer. Make sure I get this turned down so it's not yelling at you. Let's listen to what CT says, because this is what came to mind when you wrote setbacks.
They told me never pick up another weight again. It's over for you. If I die in the pursuit of my magnificent obsession, then so be it.
20 spot. Come on, bro. See you later.
I have got one hell of a story to tell now, and it's at a cost. It is at a cost.
So the two things that I think of and that come to mind that I want you to think about is there's a quote in there that CT says where he's talking to he's speaking to a group of students. And he says, if I die in the pursuit of my magnificent obsession, then so be it. And that's the attitude. That is the quintessential attitude, I think, when it comes to having indifference to pain and all of this stuff. Because the thing is, like, having back pain or shoulder pain or knee pain or neck pain or anxiety or whatever the case is, it may feel like this is the worst possible thing on earth when it occurs. Hitting the ground after doing snatch pulls and not being able to move my legs could have felt like the worst thing on earth. But I've told this story before and how I got over my dramatic fear of commercial flying, and that was to really be indifferent to it and think about, gosh, if this plane goes down and I die, so be it, because I can't do anything about it. And that alone made it so that I didn't have the same type of visceral response when a plane would start to take off, because it used to be the sweaty palms and I would start breathing really heavy and I'd be very freaked out. This plane's going to go down. But then once I just grasped the fact that if it goes down and I die, then that's really all there is to it. There's nothing I can do about it, and that's just the way it is. And having that indifference solved the problem. So just like with this, having the indifference to a setback solves the problem, and ultimately goes away. So let's listen to that one more time.
If I die in the pursuit of my magnificent obsession, then so be it.
20 spot. Come on, bro. See you later.
I have got one hell of a story to tell now.
And then he says, I have one hell of a story to tell. And I think about that in a couple of ways, too, where you're harboring a lot of anger, a lot of sadness, a lot of fury, a lot of rage, as Sarna would always talk about it. You've got one hell of a story to tell. So a lot of times those stories are being told through our tissues. Our issues are in our tissues, are being told through your tissues. So as an example, it could be a parent that had passed away, you know, months prior, years prior, and you're grieving that process. And because you haven't experienced it, meaning in the body, you've sort of pushed it away to continue to move forward, which is just how life is, right? You have bills to pay, you have dogs to feed, you have kids to take care of, you have all these things you need to take care of. And so stopping to grieve in an example like that probably really truly hasn't been done. And so having one hell of a story to tell, you need to be able to tell that story. And some people will tell their stories of sadness or rage or anger, whatever their emotion is. They'll tell that story through their tissues, right? Then we get pain. You can also tell those stories through somatic tracking, being able to experience it. You can also tell those stories in the form of something like journal speak, where you can then burn up the page and get rid of it. Let's hear what CT says to end it.
And it's at a cost. It is at a cost.
So he says he's got one great story, or one story to tell, one big story to tell, and it has come at a cost. And if you're listening to this podcast, I know that you can recognize that, it all coming at a cost. So the fact that you've spent so many years and so much time repressing things and not experiencing emotions, sort of running away from them, and not intentionally, it's come at a cost, with a setback. So that's the piece of wisdom that I would give you, Scotty, and I hope that was helpful. Ray, with believing, or how to believe, I hate to use the word faith, but really that's a lot of it. You know, being able to read the literature, watch the videos, just interpret the overall messaging and being able to understand it, and just make logic out of it. You know, pain is oftentimes not logical. If you have pain doing certain things, say you always have pain picking up a kid out of a crib, but you can pull a lawnmower up a couple of steps to get to your backyard, that's not very logical. So being able to catch in certain points what's logical and what's not can oftentimes help with belief. So think of yourself as a detective, really. And Schubiner was on this podcast a few years ago, 2018, I think it was. And he had given some great things, great basically like detective pieces to where you could deem something as being BS or not. You know, is case closed or is case not closed? You know, is the investigation over, essentially, with symptoms of yours? So it's being able to just reinstate those kinds of messages. If you haven't listened to the Howard Schubiner and I interview, like I said, it was back probably in the summer of 2018. It might have been the summer of 2019, actually, now that I think about it. But go and give that a listen. Keith said, resuming physical activity. I've started back slowly, but would like your take on the different methods. Graded exposure, all in. So funny question to ask. Graded exposure, probably it's actually the recommended Sarno route. He talks about doing it little by little. You know, if you used to run 10 miles and then you had a bunch of pain and now you can't, you know, run a block without hurting, maybe start with a quarter block and then the next day you do a half block and then, you know, continue to build yourself up. That's kind of what Sarno talks about in his book. I didn't do that. I went full stop, all in. And, you know, maybe that led to like some delayed healing or delayed symptoms. But I thought one of my kids walked in. But nevertheless, I just did it in a I went all in because that was what I had to do to basically make my brain understand, hey, like I'm not dealing with this anymore. You've taken way too much of my life away. And I'm getting back to the things I need to do now. And that's what I'm doing. So that's always my recommendation, is getting back, going full send as quickly as possible. Graded exposure is definitely not recommended, at least by Sarno or with a lot of other people. I think it's fine. It's always what I push people to do. But it's really going to be up to your comfort level, because going all in is not going to, it's not going to be conducive to you if you're freaked out and completely scared. So maybe graded exposure is better for you if that's the place that you find yourself in. Christina, are you familiar with brain spotting? Hold on. Let me Google this first. I have never heard of it. Brain spotting. Let's see. Interesting. So brainspotting.com tells me brain spotting locates points in the client's visual field that help to access unprocessed trauma in the subcortical brain. Brain spotting was discovered in 2003 by David Gran. Over 13,000 therapists have trained in BSP, brain spot training, or brain spot processing, in the United States. Dr. Grant discovered that where you look affects how you feel. It is brain activity, especially in the subcortical brain that organizes itself around the eye position. You know, I don't doubt this. One thing it makes me think of in Steve Ozanich's book, he talks about power therapy methods. And one of the things that he talks about is EMDR, I think is what it's called. And I've done a session of EMDR. I didn't get any benefit out of it. But the idea is that you're tracking something. And this particular guy used a special certain type of pen, but I followed that, not like hypnosis, but following this, and it's like rapid eye movements basically. I'm not sure if that's related. That's the thing that I think of. I've never heard of brain spotting, to be honest. It seems like it's a distant cousin of TMS therapy. I know that the form of this stuff that really seems to be taking off the furthest and the fastest is really Alan Gordon's work, and that could be because the Boulder Back study just came out. There's documentaries that are coming out. There's a movie that came out. His book just came out. His podcast is great. And he talks about basically being able to knock down your anxiety, but also just be able to think of this as brain reprocess or pain reprocessing therapy, which is really just turning the volume down on all this different pain stuff. So brain spotting could be one of those things that's helpful. The thing that it kind of makes me think about, though, is if you're going through the physical domain and you've gone, you've seen a, you know, first you see a medical doctor, then you see a physical therapist, then you see a chiropractor, then you see someone doing acupuncture. Then after that, you go and you see a Rolfer. And then after that, you go and see someone, you know, doesn't really matter what it is, but you're getting now further and further away from the traditional Western medical model that we'd be thinking of. And you can really burn through cash really quickly. And I feel like the further that you get away from that model and just keeping the process really simple, perhaps the further away that you get from actually finding an answer, because then you're almost expecting now with greater ferocity, hey, this thing that nobody's heard of is really the answer. And then you go and do it, and then you're not cured in a day. And so you think, hey, this thing doesn't work, and you just keeps leading to disappointment. So that's something that if you're listening to this and you're Googling brain spotting, I would just think of, because that's kind of what comes to mind. Pelvic floor dysfunction and how it's related to TMS. I just want to make sure, because there's a lot of muscles that would be involved in this. Pelvic floor muscles, right? So it's like the whole thing. I mean, TMS is going to could affect seemingly any tissue in the body, muscle being the primary one, nerve, tendon, that kind of tissue. And so if those muscles that are involved in the pelvic floor cannot relax because you have a lot of tension internally, the nervous system is wound up, muscles are tightening up. And for some people, that's muscles in their back. And then for some people, it's muscles in their pelvic floor. So it's the same thing. It doesn't matter. And Natasha, hopefully that doesn't sound too flippant, but really it's the same thing as asking about any other challenge. Adam, you had said setbacks is a good one. Challenging your brain pain is something we are always working on. We all develop our little routine that we feel works for us. Maybe a summary from different episodes or experts or recovery people on what techniques they find most effective. You know, going back to the first, God, it was maybe the first Christmas of the podcast, 2018. And I've done some shows like this, but Christmas-ish 2018 is what comes to mind, where I did like a best of episode where I went for some of the past or some of the favorite guests that I had had leading up to that point that had some things. Maybe it was talking about those. So maybe take a look. Maybe take a look back at an old episode like that. I know it's developing our own little routine, but really, like, the idea of this podcast and what I like to get across to people is that, like, there's more than one ways to skin a cat. So something really, it's just bringing all these different approaches to you. And something might resonate with you, and hopefully something has after 197 episodes. Hopefully you've heard from somebody that resonates with you. There's a lot of content there to go and check out. Anne says autoimmune issues. So autoimmune is interesting. I had kind of for a long time thought that it was totally off limits. But Nicole Sachs talks about a lot of improvements of people that she has, that she's worked with, that come to her citing autoimmune disease. And this work has turned down those symptoms, so they're symptom-free, even though they still have the autoimmune disorder. Furthermore, I had a psychologist, Serena, I can't remember her last name, Serena Sterling, on a couple of years ago. She had rheumatoid arthritis, and she had talked about when she really dedicates herself deep into this type of work. We weren't talking about TMS specifically, we were talking about mind-body work, basically. She would see her symptoms dramatically increase, and that's with rheumatoid arthritis, which Sarna always said was off limits. So that's somebody with it that goes through and does these kinds of processes, and she finds herself having a massive relief in symptoms. So something to consider. Tara says 8D music. Kind of kidding. It's said to help with anxiety. Have you heard of it? Apple had some good tracks. Let me see. Let me Google 8D music. Here, let's listen to something. Let's listen to 8D music. What is this? I don't know what's different about that from other types of music, but it says let's talk about so the 8D music. You know what that sounds a lot like? I subscribe to this music service that actually it's owned by the same people that own the gym I used to go to. It's called Beats RX, all one word. It's a great streaming platform, actually. If you find yourself working out or running a lot or lifting weights or whatever the case is, and you use something like a Spotify or a Pandora, whatever, and you find your music, maybe the beats per minute are slightly off, or maybe it's not pumping you up as much as it's supposed to, or, you know, the mixes aren't good, or, you know, like I have Spotify playlists that I cycle through, and, oftentimes I'll find, okay, like two songs are great for this, and then one or two songs aren't great, and I'm shuffling through songs. This is basically like a DJ track like that, that continues for an hour is the idea. So check it out. I'm sure they have a free trial or something, but I've subscribed now for two consecutive years and it's great. So, and it sounds just like that. It's what I think of when I played that sample. Tara goes on to say, let's talk about that voice in our heads. The one that says I'm bad for not being early, or everyone's going to be mad at me, or why anxiety kicks up when you have to talk to the boss or you have to ask someone for help and you don't want to. Why do I let the voice tell me what to do and how to feel? I'm not an expert on this. In fact, I start seeing a new therapist as you listen to this today. It's basically, you know, it's that interview session. Are we compatible or not compatible? Because there are a lot of things where certain situations, my anxiety does really kick up and I don't know what to do. Like for instance, if I have a disagreement or a argument, or I really don't like something that like my wife did, as an example, I can't bring myself to just tell her or say it. And I kind of have this passive aggressive bullshit that I do. That's something I'm trying to solve. That's the same thing as the voice that you're talking about. In many other instances, when the anxiety kicks up about talking to my boss or whatever the case is, it's just a level of confidence, to be honest, because I find myself being capable of saying things, doing things, believing in things, just being forward with things now that I wouldn't have been 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. And really, that's just come from me being much more confident in the person that I am. There was this great quote by Tupac once, and I hope I don't butcher this, but I think it was something along the lines of, I'm so sure and so confident about the man that I am that you can watch me while I cry, you can watch me while I die, and you can watch me do anything. And I thought, gosh, that's so interesting, because yeah, that's true. Like if you start crying, like my daughter Zoe, a lot of times if she starts crying about something, she'll run upstairs to be out of view of anybody. Doesn't want to cry in front of people. And I don't know where she, I know that the girl next door, who's a friend of hers, would do that all the time. Zoe doesn't do it as much anymore, I guess. Maybe this was like a year or a couple of years ago. But the girl next door would do it a lot, race inside if something happened and then go and hide. And then Zoe picked up on it and started doing it. And I don't know what exactly that is. She's not really doing it anymore. So I don't know if it was just like a learned thing that she saw a friend do, and then so she started to do it. But ultimately, I was watching Homeward Bound with the kids a couple of months ago, and there's the scene when Shadow reemerges. I think his name was Shadow. And I just started crying. I was like trying to keep it back for a second, then I just burst into tears, and I was actually cuddling with Zoe at that time. And I looked over and she was crying too. So that was a cute moment. I guess that's the best I would say. This episode, 30 minutes on a solo. That's not bad. I remember when I used to do solo episodes and they'd last an hour. Just feel like it's entirely too long if you're not talking to somebody. So, thanks so much for hanging out with me. The next time you hear, I guess we got one more until Halloween, which is one of my favorite holidays. So I hope everybody out there has been having an awesome start to their fall. We'll be back with an interview soon. I've got a lot that are coming up on the calendar the next couple of weeks. You're going to hear from one of the longtime people that I've looked up to, and this were actually a couple of the longtime people I've really looked up to, Anne and Barb. I think they're even happening on back-to-back weeks. So we shall see. Have a great rest of the week, and I will talk to you all next week.